Well, let us turn in our Bibles to Mark chapter 5. The Gospel according to Mark chapter 5 and verse 36. Mark chapter 5 and verse 36. Soon as Jesus heard the word that was spoken, he saith unto the ruler of the synagogue, Be not afraid, only believe. And our subject this morning is the end of fear. Well, these words are a tremendous words. This is a tremendous verse of comfort. And some of you will know, will be aware that toward the end of last year, this church distributed thousands of tracts to every address in this postcode, every address in the SE22 postcode. A postcard tract was produced, and the words on the front of that tract were the very same words that we consider this morning. Be not afraid, only believe. And these are the words of our Lord and Savior himself, the Lord Jesus Christ, spoken in a time of great need. The context of these words, just very briefly, is this: the ruler of the synagogue, Jairus, has a daughter, a 12-year-old daughter, and this young girl has just died. The Lord Jesus was on his way to heal her, but it seems that he is too late. Somebody has come from the house, and they have given Jairus and the Lord the sad news that this young girl has died. And this is the Lord's response to the situation, to this tragic news. Be not afraid, only believe. And while we read the account earlier, the Lord goes to the house of the young girl and raises her from the dead. A tremendous miracle. We could spend time on that, but my focus this morning is really exclusively on these words. Be not afraid, only believe. And I have often said it from the pulpit so many times, you probably already know what I'm about to say. But these words, this message, is the most commonly seen message in the Bible, the most often repeated message in the scripture. Be not afraid. Depart from fear. Banish all your fears. This is the message of the scripture. We are to depart from fear. It's everywhere. I give you just a few examples, although we could spend hours on this. If you were to turn to the Old Testament, you would read in the book of the prophet Isaiah, Fear thou not, for I am with thee. Be not dismayed, for I am thy God. Isaiah 41 and verse 10. If you were to turn to the Psalms, and perhaps the most famous psalm of all, Psalm 23. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. No fear, for thou art with me, thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. You see the banishing of fear? Even in darkest times, Psalm 27, the very first verse, The Lord is my light and my salvation, whom shall I fear? The Lord is the strength of my life, of whom shall I be afraid? Everywhere in the scriptures, repeatedly, why are you afraid? Why are you scared? The New Testament, of course, I don't want to leave out the New Testament. The Lord Jesus Christ here in this verse, well, it's very clear. Remember John 14, verse 1, let not your heart be troubled. Don't be afraid. Let not your heart be troubled. Ye believe in God, believe also in me. Well, I'll stop there because we could go on, but this is what is promised in the Christian life. Deliverance from fear. The end of fear. And this ought to be a great comfort for those of us who know the Lord. And it ought to be a great motivation for those of us who don't know the Lord to know the Lord, to draw near to him, This is a great motivation, because when we know the Lord, when we find a refuge in Him, well, we find a refuge that keeps us from fear. It's the end of fear when we know the Lord, when we know the Lord Jesus Christ. And what a glorious thing that is, to be protected from fear. Fear is, well, it defines this world. Fear is a great feature of modern society, well, of society in all times. It's a great feature of humanity. Fear, in a way, it defines us. It defines our lives. It defines our characters. It defines our societies. Fear, well, it is everywhere. It's all around us, every aspect of life. When we leave our houses, we lock our doors. Why? Well, because we have a fear that people will come in and steal our possessions. Even the most mundane things that we do, it's out of a fear of something happening to us. We install security on our computers and laptops because we are fearful that we may be the target of hackers. If we weren't afraid, we wouldn't do those things. But it's because we are afraid. It's because we have a fear. Fear even affects, well, the way that we act, behave, even the way we speak or communicate. This is very prominent nowadays, and I've spoken about this before. There are things that people are too scared to say nowadays. People would like to say a lot of things, but people are too scared to say it. I can't say this. I can't write this on the internet. I can't tweet this. I can't put this on my blog. I'd like to, but I'm too scared to say it. We all think that we can say whatever we want. We can't. We're scared of saying a lot of things in this modern society. Fear is everywhere. We're scared of the consequences and the criticism. One great fear that we have, and this is very natural to us as humans, we're scared of being left out. We're scared of being excluded. This is very common amongst young people at school or at university. They're very scared of being the odd one out. They want to be included in the group. They want to be in the cool gang. If they're rejected, well, that's a terrifying thing. They'll do anything to be part of the gang. They'll do anything, even things they don't really want to do, they'll do it because they're so scared of being left out. The one who's not part of the group, the one who has no friends. They're so scared they'll do things that they don't actually want to do. So even in friendships, friendships can be governed by fear. Fear of being rejected and excluded. But fear, this is another aspect of fear in the world. Fear can actually drive people, motivate people. Some people who are very successful are actually driven by a great fear of losing or being second best. Children can be very successful in their exams and in their studies, but often it can be not because they love their subject, not because they're interested in the work, they're fearful of what their parents will say. Why are you not doing well at school? It's driven by fear. I have to be good in my studies because I fear what my parents will say. It drives them. It's their motivation. Some of the greatest achievements that man has achieved, well, really, it's been out of fear. It's often been said that the greatest inventions are made in times of war, when people are fearful that the other side are going to win. And that's when the greatest inventions come. You think of the space race, journey to the moon. That was really out of fear. The US were afraid that the Soviet were going to get there before they did, and the Soviets as well, afraid that the US. It was fear, really. We don't want to be second best in anything. Fear drives man even in his greatest accomplishments. And fear is something that man is very good at producing. Fear, well, man can produce it in abundance. Man is not very good at producing hope, for example. There's not much hope in the world. There's not much peace in the world. There's not much joy in the world. But when you look at the world, there is a lot of fear. We're very good at producing fear, not very good at producing anything else. Some people employ fear as a tool for their own ends. Many governments have in the past, and I'm sure they will in the future, they govern by fear. They make a people very fearful, a population very scared. Why? Well, because it's easier to control a population that is scared, make them afraid of something. Fear is used as a tool to control people. That's what the dictators do. And well, of course, even the dictators are scared of something. The greatest dictators, whoever they may be, they're scared of something. They're scared of losing their power. I could go on at great length. You see how all this is connected? Fear is in the world and it governs us. But how can we apply this spiritually? Let me start to examine this. Well, fear is at the very root of sin. Fear is at the very root of sin. We know that some people commit the greatest sins when they are afraid. That's when they are forced to commit the greatest sins. But sin, really, it is based on fear. You know, when we sin, when we do things that we know are wrong, it's often because, we fear missing out on something. We fear missing out. Original sin was like this. When Adam and Eve were told not to eat of that forbidden fruit, they gave in to temptation. Why? Well, because they were afraid. That fruit looks so good. It must taste so wonderful. They were scared that they were going to miss out on the pleasures of this fruit. They were tempted. Take it, eat it. It will be so wonderful. You'll be like gods. And they were so scared on missing out that opportunity. We must take it. We can't let this opportunity go. And so they sinned against God. Dear friends, that is the nature of sin. So much sin in society is done because people are so scared of missing out on the pleasures of this world. Look at this world, all its pleasures, all the things you can do. You're going to miss out on that? Oh, I'm so scared of missing out on doing this and doing that. Everyone else is doing it. I'm going to be the only one. It's fear. You don't want to miss out on all the fun. And that's what drives you into sin. You're scared of going without it. It's fear, dear friends, at the root of sin. Fear of missing out. Fear of never having lived. That's what drives so many people to their sin. And people are so fearful of leaving their sins. So fearful of leaving their sins. You know, the call to repentance in the scriptures is everywhere. The Lord Jesus Christ, the first words that he said in his earthly ministry was repent. You know what repentance means? It means to leave your sin. But so many people hate repentance. Why? Because they're terrified of leaving their sins. They're terrified. They've got so dependent on their sins for their pleasures. Why, it's like a drug addict. A drug addict finds it very hard to come off drugs. Why? Because he loves his drugs? No, it's because he's terrified of a life without drugs. He's so scared of being without it that he'll stay in it. It's like an alcoholic also. The reason he finds it so hard, he's scared of a life. It's fear, scared of a life without alcohol. And it's the same with us. We don't want to leave our sins. I'm scared of a life without my favorite sins. Without doing this, without doing that, what is my life going to be like? It's actually fear. You may think you're a strong person, but you are afraid of leaving your sins behind and of coming to God. It's great fear that keeps us from the Lord and from knowing Him and from knowing all the benefits of His salvation. Dear friends, we teach this so often. It's a kind of enslavement. This is why we say, we describe it in this way. You are enslaved to your sins because you're terrified of leaving them behind. And this is a tragic aspect of human nature. Fear enslaves us. But dear friends, the scriptures say to us that there is one fear that we should have. There is one fear that we should have. You know, it's been said that the thing we fear the most is the thing we most worship. The thing we fear the most is the thing we most worship. If you fear losing your job more than anything else in the world, you worship your job. If you fear losing your friends more than anything else in the world, you actually worship your friends. You serve them. The thing that you fear the most is the thing that you most worship. But we are told to worship God in the Bible. We're told to worship Him. And we are told to fear Him, to fear God. That's the only fear that the scriptures say we should have. And again, well, I could point to many parts of scripture. We read from Psalm 34 earlier. Remember what was written in verse 11. Come ye children, hearken unto me. I will teach you the fear of the Lord. I'll teach you the fear of the Lord. Proverbs 9 and verse 10. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. We are being exhorted to fear the Lord. It's good to fear the Lord and the Lord Jesus Christ as well. The same man who says here, fear not. Well, he specifically commands us to fear God many times. Not the things in this world, not people. Fear God. You know, in Luke 12 and verses 4 to 5, this is what the Lord Jesus Christ says, and I want you to listen to this very clearly. I say unto you, my friends, be not afraid of them that kill the body, and after that have no more that they can do, but I will forewarn you whom ye shall fear. Fear him which after he hath killed hath power to cast into hell. Yea, I say unto you, fear him. Don't fear the world. Don't fear people. What can they do? Fear the one who hath power to cast you into hell. Who's that? That's God. That's God. That's not the devil. Some people say, oh, it's the devil who wants to cast me into hell. No, it's not. It's God alone who has the power to cast us into hell. It's not the devil. The devil himself is going to be thrown into hell by God. That's what hell is. It's a place reserved for the devil and his angels. But it is God. He is the one who is the judge. He is the one whom we must fear. And dear friends, this is why we must fear the Lord. Do you fear the Lord? So many people don't. You don't fear God. You don't fear the gospel message. You hear this message, you're not interested. You're not concerned in the slightest. God is not important to you. God is nobody significant. You don't care about God. You don't fear God at all. You come here, you listen, but well, I don't have to take these things seriously. There's no fear of God in you at all. You don't fear God's holiness. God is holy, which means, yes, that God is pure and clean, but also that he hates sin. That's part of his holiness. He is so pure that he hates sin. He will not tolerate sin. Thou art of purer eyes than to behold evil, and canst not look on iniquity. That's what the prophet Habakkuk said of the Lord. He casts sin out of his sight. He hates sin. But you don't care about that. You just sin and do whatever you want. You have no fear of the holiness of God, and you have no fear of the day of judgment. There is that day coming when the Lord will visit this world in judgment to deal with sin. The holy God, to punish sinners, he will remove them eternally from his sight. Do you fear that day, dear friends? Maybe you don't. Oh, whatever. This pastor always talks about this. I couldn't care less about the day of judgment. But if you don't fear him now, you will on that day, dear friends. I was watching just the other day a documentary, and it was focusing on a GP surgery. And one man went in to see his doctor. He knew that something was wrong. But initially he said to the doctor, you know, I'm not afraid to die. I've had a good life. Whatever is wrong with me, I'll be fine. And then the doctor told him, you've got a cancer. There's a cancer within you. And don't you know, he suddenly changed. He was so scared all of a sudden. One minute he was fine. Oh, just tell me whatever. Then he was so scared. There was sweat on his brow. His hands were shaking. Dear friends, that's what you'll be like. It's very easy now to say, I'm not scared of the judgment. Oh, who cares? But when you stand before God on the day of judgment, when he reads out that judgment against your sin, you will be scared on that day. You will most certainly be afraid. It is a fearful thing to fall into the hands of the living God, we read in the New Testament. But dear friends, this is why we have the gospel. To fear God is a healthy fear, because it leads us to Christ. It causes us to flee to Christ for safety. It is a good thing to fear God, because we run to Christ in order to escape the coming judgment. Christ, who is God. Christ, well, we see everything about God in Christ. We see the holiness of God in Christ. We see that perfect life of righteousness. We see the power of God in Christ. We see the miracles and so on. But we see the love of God in Christ. God is holy and just, yes, but God is also love. And out of love for the world, God sent his only begotten Son to save us, from the coming judgment, to be our substitute, to be our scapegoat. You know, we read of the Lord Jesus Christ, we read of him being afraid in the scriptures. The Lord Jesus Christ was afraid. Only once we read of the Lord himself, who spent his whole ministry telling people not to be afraid. There's one occasion when he is afraid in the scriptures. In the Garden of Gethsemane, before he went to the cross, we read of the Lord being afraid, overwhelmed in his soul. We read of him being troubled within. We read of him sweating drops of blood. He was so afraid. Why was he so afraid? Well, because he was going to take that punishment. He was going to take the wrath of God upon himself for us. For us. He knew the fear of God within himself. What a fearful prospect that would be. You know, when I think of my sins, how scared I am. If I had to face God with all that I've done, all that I know I've done, And to face that punishment, what a fearful prospect. And that's just me. The Lord was facing the prospect of taking the punishment for billions of people, millions at least, who would trust in him. How much fear must have been upon him. But dear friends, so great was his love, he still went to the cross. His love conquered his fear. Love banishes all fear, and this is the love of Christ toward us. I love my people. I will go to the cross, even though I know how terrible it will be. Even though I'm sweating drops of blood just at the thought of it, I love my people. And this is the gospel, dear friends, speaking to us of the glorious love of the Lord Jesus Christ. His love for us had no fear of the cross. And he went and he took upon himself the punishment for our sins. But time is almost out. Be not afraid, only believe, says the Lord Jesus Christ. That's all you have to do to be saved. God doesn't ask you to do something scary. You don't have to carry out some great feat of strength to be saved. You don't have to fight in some war or take on some army. You don't have to climb a great mountain or do something treacherous to your life to be saved. All you have to do is believe. There's nothing fearful in that. Be not afraid, only believe. Why are you scared of coming to the Lord Jesus Christ? You know, some people have fears that are irrational fears. Have you heard of that? Irrational fears? Fears that will never actually come to pass. Fears that are not actually based on reality or truth. Some people have fears that are utterly irrational. Is that like you with the gospel? Is that like you with coming to Christ? You think to yourself, if I come to Christ, my life will be terrible. My life will be so dreary. My life will be an utter waste. Or maybe you think I'll be a terrible Christian. It's not even worth me coming to Christ. I'll be awful. That's your fear. Dear friends, many people have those fears. I had those fears before I came to Christ. I had all of those fears. But let me tell you now, those fears are all irrational. All irrational fears. When I started walking with the Lord, well, I didn't know any fear at all. All I knew was strength. Suddenly there was strength in my life. Strength to overcome fear, fear of what people will say, fear of living without my sin. I actually, for the first time in my life, could overcome all those fears and walk with the Lord. Dear friends, have no fear of coming to Christ. Come to him, walk with him. You will know strength. You will know courage in this life. And at the very end, there'll be no fear of condemnation. No fear when you stand before God. You will know that Christ has died for me. So I am safe. I'm forgiven all my sin. I am eternally loved by God. Dear friends, these are the words. Read them, obey them, come to Christ this day. The Lord says, be not afraid, only believe. Well, let's turn in our hymn books to our final hymn as we close this morning. Hymn number 388. Hymn number 388. And this hymn of Charles Wesley will help us enormously. Thou God of glorious majesty, to thee, O judge of all, to thee, A worm of earth I cry, a wandering foolish child of man, an heir of endless bliss or pain, a sinner born to die. Here on a narrow neck of land, 'twixt two unbounded seas I stand, yet so insensible. A point of time, a moment's space, removes me to that heavenly place, or shuts me up in hell. O God, mine inmost soul convert, and deeply on my thoughtful heart eternal things impress. Give me to feel their solemn weight, and tremble on the brink of fate, and wake to righteousness. Be this my one great business here, with serious industry and fear, eternal bliss to ensure. Thy pardoning love on me bestow, that I may find thee here below, and to the end endure. Then, Saviour, then my soul receive, transported from this earth to live, and reign with thee above. Where faith is sweetly lost in sight, and hope in full supreme delight, and everlasting love. Let's pray together. Dear Lord, our gracious God and our loving Heavenly Father, O Lord, teach us the fear of the Lord, that we may be led to Christ, that we may know what we have in Christ, salvation that is sure and full, that there is nothing to fear, nothing to fear in the day of judgment, because Christ has died. He has taken that punishment for us. Grant us that great understanding, and may we all come to him, that we may know victory, that we may fear no more in this life, nor forevermore. We ask all these things in our Saviour's name and for his sake. Amen.
Amen.